All right, would you take your copy of God's Word and join me in the book of James this morning? James chapter 1. And we will consider James 1, 19, and 20 together this morning. Feeling that God was directing me to pastoral ministry, I headed off to university at 18 to get a theological education. And in addition to my major focus of study, the school that I was attending actually required that students also pick what was called a minor or a secondary focus of study. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to be pastoring, if that's what God wants me to do, that's probably going to involve a fair bit of speaking, which made me very nervous and uncomfortable. And I also felt like I was not good at it. And so I decided that I would minor in speech and communication. And so I ended up in all these classes with that focus. And my favorite class in that time was a class called Interpersonal Communication. I just found it fascinating, extremely interesting, and really enjoyed the textbook, the main textbook that we read for that class. Guess what the title for that book was? I think the title pretty much said it all. It was in the 10th edition. It had been published for decades. I think it's since now in the 11th or 12th edition or something like that. But apparently a book that was well-liked in that field, and it was called this. It was called Bridges, Not Walls, a book about interpersonal communication. I think that that title summarizes the human struggle really, really well. Instead of building bridges in our personal relationships and in our communications, people often build walls in those interactions. And if there was ever a textbook to guide us through those challenges and then guide us how to not put up a bunch of walls and instead to build bridges, that textbook is God's Word. And in James chapter 1, 19 to 20, I think God addresses what, frankly, are probably three of the greatest wall builders that you and I are prone to employ in our communications and our interactions with other people. I would say in my life personally, these are probably the big three that I would struggle with, and I would assume they are for you too. What James is about to teach us here is extremely relevant for all of our interactions, how we relate to one another, in simple conversation, and also in our conversations that would be more difficult. What he says here is particularly relevant for those interactions that are challenging. And we all have those. In fact, probably some of the conversations and the interactions that are the hardest are in the relationships with people that we love the most. You think about that. Who do you find yourself arguing with? Do you find yourself doing a bunch of arguing with your friend who you get together with every 2 months? You find tension mounting in your casual relationships. You probably find those things happening in the relationships with people you love the most. It's your husband. It's your wife. It's your coworker who you work side by side with every single day. God cares how you interact with others, and he wants you to do it his way. So let's listen to what God says, James chapter 1. Verses 19 to 20. James writes this. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, I think it's important that I state that when we come to these verses, we actually have a very important interpretational decision to make. And I want to defend the one that I'm about to make. And hopefully you'll see why I'm thinking that's the best option. We have to decide how these verses relate to their larger context. And we always do that in Scripture as we open up God's Word. We're trying to understand what God has said in the context of the larger message that he's saying. And as we look at these verses, we notice that they're actually sandwiched between other verses that talk about God's Word. So, for example, if you look back at verse 18, verse 18 references the Word of Truth. We saw last week that's probably a reference to the Gospel, specifically, and then more generally to God's Word as a whole. And then if you look on the other side of our verses for today, verses 21 to verse 25, I mean, it's all about the Word of God and what we do with it and how we take it and receive it and apply it. So on either side of our verses today, we have scriptures focused on the Bible, on God's Word. And so if we're going to be good interpreters, what a good interpreter would do would actually assume that the verses we're looking at today are also focused on the Word of God. That's our first assumption as an interpreter. So in verse 19, James would be saying something like this. He'd be saying, be quick to hear what? What's he saying, be quick to hear? Well, in context, it would seem like he's saying, be quick to hear the word of God. That would be a very good assumption. The only problem is as we take that this context of the word of God and we follow it through this passage, things start to break down. So you start with, be quick to hear the word of God. But what happens when you go to the next statement? Be slow to speak. Speak what? The word of God? You mean like I shouldn't be talking about the word of God? Oh, no, no, there's a nuance to that there. It's like what's saying, being said in James chapter 3, verse 1, be slow to teach it. Maybe. I don't know. It seems like a bit of a stretch. And then you go to the third statement, and he says, be slow to anger. How so? Be slow to anger with the word of God when I read it and I don't like what it says and I get angry with it and I don't want to hear it? Is he saying, don't do that? Don't get upset with what it says? Maybe. But it seems like you have to do some gymnastics to get to that interpretation, even though it's actually a pretty common interpretation. I don't think that James is actually talking about the word of God in verses 19 and 20. I think he's talking about your words. And the larger context of James, I think, supports that. We're not just looking at the words right around our particular text. We're looking at the whole book. And as you think about the book of James, what themes do you think about? Well, trials and temptations and the things we've seen the last couple weeks. But I would almost guarantee you that when you think about the book of James, you think about the tongue. You think about words. It's one of James' favorite topics. And all throughout this book, he's just going to pop into that theme again and again and again because it's so important to him. I think that's exactly what he's doing here. He's talking about your words, your interpersonal interactions and communication. And what he does is he offers us, we could call them three nuggets of wisdom. They're short, they're sweet, they're loaded, and they're valuable. And what we're looking at is much like what we read in the Proverbs. It's just a short, simple saying. And so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time trying to explain exactly what this text means. It's pretty straightforward. I think maybe what God wants us to do is meditate on it. Think through, what does this mean? How do I live this out? How do I do this? What does it mean to do what James is saying here? And I'm going to try to make a lot of applications. I think there's always a little bit of risk in that I could make applications that don't quite line up with God's word. So I would just say this. You listen to what I say in these applications and you be a Berean and say, does that application line up? Is that biblical? And I think that as we meditate on this text together, hopefully we'll be reminded of some very, very important truths and how to live them out. So three nuggets of wisdom. The first, James says, listen more. Nugget number one. Look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. God says, be quick to hear. Be speedy in hearing. Your temptation's the opposite of that. I almost guarantee you that probably what you want is to be heard. Don't you want to be heard? I mean, let's just be honest. When you and your spouse talk, don't you want to be heard? When you and your coworker talk, don't you want to be heard? All of us want to be heard. And James says, you need to hear. And so many of your communication problems would actually be solved if you learned to listen more, better, and sooner. God gave you two ears, he gave you one mouth, and there's probably a very, very good reason for that. When I read this passage, I think what God wants me to realize is this, and he wants you to realize something very similar, that to be a good husband, I have to be a good listener. It's going to be very hard for me to be a good husband if I don't learn to be a good listener. If I'm going to be a good father, I need to be a good listener. To be a good friend, I must be a good listener. To be a good leader, to be a good shepherd, to be a good counselor, to be a good disciple maker, to be a good follower of Jesus myself, I must learn to listen and listen well and listen quickly. Why is it that that is so hard? I mean, I think we all would look at this text and go, yeah, that's obviously a problem. Most of us struggle with it. Why? Why is listening so hard? Well, I think we could say it takes work, it takes energy, it takes effort. But it also runs contrary to my selfish nature. I want to be heard. I want to get my words out. I want you to hear me. And to be a good listener, I think, is much like Jesus. I actually care about you. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to understand you. Don't you think that's how Jesus related to other people? What does it mean to be a good listener? If you think about what goes on in communication, typically as people break down communication, you've got a few elements. You've got a sender, you've got a receiver, and you've got a message. And the sender is trying to send his message to the receiver. It sounds really simple. It sounds really straightforward, but it's actually really complicated, right? Because the sender takes his message and he communicates it through some medium, whether that's words or text or whatever. And he packages this whole message and through words and facial expressions and body language and all of these different things. He's got a message inside of him that he's trying to find out how to articulate in some way, shape, or form and get it to you. And meanwhile, that's happening in a context with all kinds of noise. I mean, and distractions and different things. My son and I were on our way to church here today, and I was in the truck driving, and he was behind me, and he's trying to talk to me. I just can't even hardly hear him. And I turn around. I'm like, I can't hear you. You're talking into the window. Like, I'm facing this way. He's facing this way, talking into the glass. I'm like, you got to turn this way, and you're going to have to talk louder because your dad's half deaf, you know? And all of the road noise and all of this, and he's trying to say something that's in his mind as a four-year-old, and I don't think like a four-year-old too much anymore, maybe a little bit from time to time. And to get the message that's on his mind and in his heart and get it to me and me understand that, that takes work. That takes effort. That takes selflessness on my part and on your part and all of those conversations with so many things that could go wrong. Listening is an active effort. So I want to ask you some questions. Are you quick to listen to what others say? Maybe we could get more specific with some of that. Are you quick to listen to the advice and ideas of other people? Proverbs 19 verse 20 says this, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." For some people, that is extremely hard to do. Are you the type of person that is quick to listen to the advice of other people? Some people always have advice. They always want to give it to you, and that can become annoying, right? But God has placed so many people in your life that He wants them to speak into your life and offer advice and offer counsel. God says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. I would ask some of you kids and teens in this room, God has given you parents, He's given you mom and dad, and you think, oh, they don't have much wisdom. Maybe I know better, or they're just always going to say this, they're always going to say that. Are you the type of elementary school kid or the type of teenager that when your mom and your dad say something to you, you listen? And when they give you advice, and maybe they're not even telling you you have to do something, but they're trying to say, son or daughter, this is what I would do, and this is why I would do it. Do you listen? For all of us, do you listen? Are you quick to listen to the rebukes and corrections of others? Quick to listen. Proverbs 15, verse 32 says, "Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence." God is praising listening to reproof. You need reproof, as do I, and you probably need it frequently. None of us are just crushing it as we walk through life. Are you too proud to listen to correction? Does someone have to beat that and drive that into your head because you don't have a disposition that says, okay, I realize that maybe I have problems, or maybe I messed up, or maybe I sinned, and I want to have the humility to listen to what you're saying and ask follow-up questions and try to grasp the error of my way and humbly embrace that. That's what God wants. Are you quick to listen to the concerns of other people? As a boss, as a leader, as a husband, I think especially if you're in any sort of leadership capacity, people have concerns, don't they? Are you quick to listen to those things? Or do you have it all figured out? Well, I'm the boss, I'm the husband, I'm the parent, I am whatever, I'm the supervisor, I'm in charge. I find it very interesting that James says in this passage, he says, let every person be quick to hear. Do you think that maybe there's a temptation that there are times when you think, I don't need to be the person that listens here? Because I'm the boss, I'm the one with all the education, I'm the one in charge. And somehow you're exempt from being a listener by virtue of your position. God says, let every person be quick to hear. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the expert or you are in charge. God wants you to be a listener. Are you quick to listen to the needs and burdens of other people? Sometimes people need to unburden themselves. They just need to. And they just need to get whatever it is inside of them, they just need to get it off of their chest. And I think what happens, someone starts to do this, and we're so quick to, well, here's the advice. Yes, you have a problem. Let's fix it. And sometimes what people need more than anything is, I just need to get it all out. I just need to unburden myself. I need to get it off of my chest. They may not even need advice. They literally just need you to listen. And what happens is people tend to dump on listeners, don't they? People are walking around carrying these burdens and things on their hearts, and all of a sudden they find that person who's a listener, and it just gets unloaded. Are you the type of person that people dump on? Really, I mean it. Do people come to you and unload? That's actually very much could potentially be a virtue. And if you find yourself the type of person that people don't come to you, people don't come and share their burdens and concerns and ideas, or people never come and unload to you because they know you care. Maybe that's a problem. People won't talk to you and they won't open up to you if they don't believe that you'll listen or that they will be heard and loved. Are you quick to listen to the words of God? I mentioned I don't think that's the primary focus of this text, but it's definitely an application. Are you the type of person that's quick to put yourself before God's words? God, I need your truth. And so part of being quick to listen is I'm opening it up regularly. I'm intentionally going to your words saying, God, what do you have to say to me today? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? God wants you to be quick to listen. One of my grandfathers passed away, I think probably 5 to 7 years ago now. And I think one of the things that people loved about him, especially in his family, and missed probably the most, is that he was a good listener. My grandfather and grandmother, they raised their family. They had 5 kids. They were relatively poor. Their marriage was a disaster initially until God did a great work. A lot of life experiences, and I think that one of the things that we all loved about my grandfather, especially I found my female cousins and my aunts, just seemed like everybody just wanted to sit down with Grandpa. Because Grandpa would just sit there, and he would listen. He wouldn't say a whole lot. He'd maybe crack a smile and chuckle a little bit, and maybe after listening for a little while, he would offer perhaps a little bit of advice given in love. People love people like that. You could tell him anything and he would listen. People cherish a good listener, and for good reason. And some of you might say, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to listen to people. God does. God says that anytime we want, we can go to him and talk and share our burdens and pray, and his ears are open. What does it say if we never have time for that? It says we don't look very much like Jesus. God cares how you interact with others. He wants you to listen more, to be quick to listen. If I could here, I just want to give some maybe practical do's and don'ts that give us a good clue if we're listening. And again, I think this here, you evaluate it with Scripture. You see if it's accurate, if it lines up with God's truth. I think there are definitely things we don't want to be doing. You don't want to be rude. And that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. We do things like interrupt, finish other people's sentences, change the subject, focus on what you will say next. Do you find yourself doing that? Maybe in an argument in particular, this person's saying this, well, I'm going to say this. Don't be rude. That's not godly. That's not kind. Don't be foolish. Don't assume you know what a person is saying. Do you ever have a really hard time getting your words out? Like you've got something you want to say, and you want that person to understand, and you just can't find the words or the way to package it so that they get it. Don't assume you know what a person is saying, and don't let your emotions keep you from listening. If you're doing those sorts of things, you're probably not listening very well, if at all. And on the flip side of that, how can you be a good listener? Well, I think love would say, when someone's speaking to me, I'm going to do my best to give them my full attention. Don't you love people like that? People that when you talk to them, it's as if you're the only person in the room. You feel loved. And there are ways that, just practically, I think that we can help facilitate that, doing things like setting our devices down. We live in a world where all of us are tethered to our devices. They're in our pockets. They're part of they're extensions of our bodies. And we end up in these conversations and we're texting or we're reading and trying to have a conversation. Set your devices down. Turn off the TV. Stop what you're doing. Try to limit distraction and face the person and make appropriate eye contact. I do care and I do want to listen. I think doing things like focusing on understanding the other person, trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes, doing just practical things where someone says something to you, you're not quite sure if you got it. And you even saying things like, I think I heard you say this, you know, trying to summarize what you think you just heard them say. Is that what you're saying? Because I want to make sure I know and I want to make sure I understand. Asking clarifying questions, perhaps that are open-ended. Again, it's an act of love saying, you're saying something, you're putting it on the table, and I want to be selfless, and it's important to me to understand. And being patient with the other person. Again, sometimes it takes a while to find the right words. You think about maybe conversations that you have had over and over and over and over again. In your marriage. I know Brittany and I have had conversations. It's like we have had this conversation again and again and again and again. And sometimes feeling like, well, have we ever made any progress? And then sometimes you realize that a breakthrough comes. Oh, I understand what you're saying now. Why didn't I get that 3 years ago? You were trying to tell me, but I just didn't understand it or this or that. Listening takes effort and listening takes time. Next time you find your spouse, you and your spouse find yourselves in the midst of a difficult discussion, or maybe it's you and your boss, maybe it's you and your coworker, maybe it's you and someone in your family who for years it's like there's been bad blood there. Think about God's command to you here. Let every person be quick to hear. That's your first responsibility in those interpersonal interactions. No matter what you want to say or think you need to say, how about you start listening to the other person and ask God's help to do so. Again, this is something that's going to require you walking in the Spirit to do. How many marriages, how many relationships would be transformed and preserved if we learn to listen? That the order that God puts things here is very important. Listen first. Listen quick. Second nugget of wisdom that God gives us, I just word it this way. How about you talk less? Listen more, talk less. Or in the words of James, let every person be slow to speak. My initial response is not to speak. It's to listen. Most of us are the opposite of being slow to speak. We're quick to speak. We're quick to offer advice. We're quick to give counsel. We're quick to say, well, this is what I think. I know you just said this, but it's actually this way. In her book, The Female Brain, Dr. Luann, which, by the way, I haven't read it, nor do I claim to really understand it. But Dr. Luann Brizendine stated that a woman uses about 20,000 words per day, while a man only uses 7,000. And all of us men are like, yeah, good for us. Do you know what's funny about that statement, though? It's not actually true. Subsequent research has concluded that both men and women average about 16,000 words per day. That's a lot of words. A lot. 16,000? We use a lot of words. And God wants us to learn to limit them and choose them carefully. God commands us to be quick to hear, hasty in hearing, which requires being slow to speak. If you don't follow these things and you get things out of order, you're going to mess it all up. One of the practical reasons that God gives us this command is because when we're hasty with our speech, we're often quick to sin. Think about what God says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. He says, when words are many, what happens? When words are many, transgression is not lacking. God says it's really simple. You talk a bunch, you're probably going to sin a bunch. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. It's been said, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. You ever made any of those? I've made a few. I've made a big one within the last couple of months, and I realized, oh my goodness, like I violated these principles, and next thing I know, I'm going back to someone and saying, I was angry. Will you forgive me? I didn't speak to you the right way. That was wrong. And looking back, you're like, oh, I just wish that never would have happened, but it did. The reality is that whenever you're quick to speak, whenever we're quick to speak, we often end up regretting our words. And words spoken in reaction are often sinful words. Proverbs 17, 27 to 28 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And I love verse 28, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Not everything that's on your mind needs to be shared. Facebook will ask you what's on your mind, and Facebook will ask you to share it with the world. Not everything that's on your mind needs to be shared with everyone. A lot of what's on your mind needs to be kept to yourself. There's a wise little saying that says, better to keep silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I think just like that proverb is saying, even a fool, when he is kept silent, is thought to be wise. And when he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. God's not saying, though, I think this desperately needs to be highlighted. God's not saying don't talk. God very much expects you to do that very thing. And I think people could look at that and see, yeah, I don't say hardly anything. And that's godly. I don't talk to my spouse that much. I just sort of grunt back and I'm protecting myself from sin. And that's good. Well, not really. Because you have other passages of Scripture, such as a passage like Ephesians chapter 4 that says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It exhorts us to speak the truth with one another. And you run the risk of violating other principles where you say, oh, I'm just not going to talk. Well, God told you to speak the truth, and you're thinking something in your heart in a very close relationship, and you're hiding it, and you can't keep current in that relationship. That's a recipe for disaster. God does want you to speak. But what God is saying, he's saying, be slow to speak. Don't be hasty with your words. Don't be quick to spit all those things out. God's saying something like this, make sure you listen and then selectively choose your words. Make sure they're fitted to the occasion and the situation and are appropriate. Kind of like what your mother told you. Think before you speak. Except James is like, listen and think before you speak. And again, the order here is not incidental. You can't speak well until you learn to listen well. So often, we get it the other way around. We speak before we listen. I was at a church, the first church that I was a pastor at. I think the church was 600 to 700 people. And their leadership structure, their governance was a bit different than ours. They had paid pastors, and then they had a pile of deacons that made a lot of the leadership decision and that sort of thing. I think at the time there were something like 25 deacons. Oh, we would have these deacons meetings, and they were long. I mean, they were just so long. And some of you have been in those sorts of meetings, and you're like, oh no, it's deacons meeting tonight. Oh, please no, Lord. Like, I'm just going to sit there for hours as it goes round and round and round and round, and people talk and they share their, and it goes nowhere for 4 hours on end. I remember going to some of those meetings, and there was one deacon that I particularly appreciated because some topic of discussion would come up. You've got 25 guys in the room, and this guy's saying this, and that guy's saying this, and everybody's offering their little piece. And then finally, after an hour of discussion on the same topic, the guy that I really appreciated would pipe up from the back, finally deciding to speak and open his mouth. And in a few sentences, he would say, I think we should do this. And here's why. And everybody's like, yes, that's what we should do. Why? Like, that's so simple. That's so clear. Why didn't anybody else think of that? Well, while everybody else was talking, he was sitting in the back of the room listening and thinking. And then at the appropriate time, he shared the appropriate words and out came wisdom. How desperately we need to learn to do that. God cares how you interact with others. Talk less, guard your words, choose them well. And the third nugget of wisdom, keep calm. Look at verses 19 to 20 again. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God orders you to be slow to anger. Specifically, he commands you not to be quick-tempered. Ecclesiastes 7:9 warns, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. And I think we know from other passages of Scripture that anger takes on so many different forms. You can have an outward, explosive anger that manifests itself very obviously, very visibly, maybe even in a scary fashion. But you can also have internal anger. You could have someone who is just ripping mad on the inside. And they look calm on the outside. And yet on the inside, it's like they're about to explode. It's all pent up inside of them. And it turns into things like bitterness and resentment. And God's reminding us that often we're so quick to that. When God wants us to be slow to anger, it's really simple. Somebody says something that doesn't sit well with you. You're in this conversation and somebody else sends a message. And you don't like the message. It doesn't sit well with you. And now you're angry. You're not listening anymore. And now you're speaking. What a disaster. The problem is you didn't hear what you wanted to hear. What would be the opposite of anger? When God's telling us to be slow to anger, what do you think the antithesis to being quick to anger is? It's being slow to anger, but what is that? Could we put that in different words? I think there are probably a few different words. Words like patience and long-suffering and forbearance. Patience, a fruit of the Spirit. You realize you can't have conversations that are difficult unless you walk in the Spirit. Why does God want you to be patient? Why does God want you to be slow to anger? He says your anger won't produce anything that pleases God. Look at verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James' very simple point is that human anger does not produce anything that's pleasing to God. So if sinful anger does not produce behavior that pleases God, that it doesn't meet his approval, what does sinful anger produce? Let's say you don't get this right. Well, God says in Proverbs 29, verse 22, he says, a man of wrath stirs up strife. Your anger is going to produce something. It's not going to produce anything that pleases God. It's going to produce strife and conflict. And that's how so many of our arguments go. She's not listening. He's not listening. Everybody's talking a bunch. It's anger. And round and round and round it goes. And it's nothing but strife and conflict. A man of wrath stirs up strife. And one given to anger causes much transgression. What's a transgression? It's when you cross a line. And that's what happens. Lots of crossings of the line. Sinful crossings of the line. Anger produces all sorts of sins. Resentment, bitterness, enmity, hostility, grudges, and strife. It regularly leads to sinful actions and words. Many of you have read the excellent book, Respectable Sins, by Jerry Bridges. He says this, anger is never static. It's never just contained and not going anywhere. Anger is never static. If it's not dealt with, it will grow into bitterness, hostility, and revenge-minded grudges. No wonder that Paul said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger within the hearts of God's people keeps them from doing what God requires. You cannot do what God asks you to do here unless the Spirit of God is controlling you. But if He is, and the fruits of the Spirit are coming out, namely patience and love, and you're sitting there and you're listening, and you're choosing your words carefully, and anger is not in the picture. The great conversations that are had, the great progress that is made, and the disasters that are avoided. God cares how you interact with others. Keep calm. I've considered three nuggets of wisdom. And to fail in one, I hope you'll see this, to fail in one of those is often to fail in two of them, if not all three. You get one wrong, you'll probably get two wrong, you'll probably get all three of them wrong. It's a sequence, it's a chain, it's all locked together. How important it is that you learn to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. As you interact with others, you must do it God's way. Listen more, talk less, and keep calm, but you can't do that on your own. You need the Spirit of God working in you, and God will bless that. Would you bow with me as we conclude?